Astăzi, tu nu ne vei pătra. Divyam Vrishashatam Sthiraha Vasudeve Bhagavati Nanya Vedodahan Ritim. Others. Aste stanna vekatra Divyam Vrishashatam Sthiraha Vasudeve Bhagavati Vedodahan Ritim. Aste stanna vekatra Divyam Vrishashatam Sthiraha Vasudeve Bhagavati Nidhodhantam Aste. Remains Stanu, immovable, Eva, like, Ekatra, in one place, Divyam, of the demigods, Varshashatam, 100, Stira, steady, Vasudeve, and to Lord Krishna, Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Na, not, Anyat, anything else, Veda did know Udvahan, possessing Aratim, attraction. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. In this way, he stayed immovable in one place for 100 years by the calculations of the demigods. After this time, he developed pure devotional attraction for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and remained fixed in that position. Purport, Bahunam Jmanan Ante Ganavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvam Iti Samahatma Sudurlabha. Quote, after many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 19. Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is everything, and one who knows this is the greatest of all transcendentalists. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that one realizes this after many, many births. This is also confirmed in this verse with the words, Divyam Varshashatam, 100 years according to the calculation of the demigods. According to the calculation of the demigods, one day, 12 hours, is equal to 6 months on earth. 100 years of the demigods would equal 36,000 earth years. Thus, King Malayadwaj executed austerities and penances for 36,000 years. After this time, he became fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. To live on earth for so many years, one has to take birth many times. This confirms the conclusion of Krishna. To come to the conclusion of Krishna consciousness and remain fixed in that, in the realization that Krishna is everything, as well as render service unto Krishna, are characteristics of the perfectional stage. As said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, verse 62, Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hai. When one comes to the conclusion that Krishna is everything by worshipping or by rendering devotional service unto Krishna, one actually becomes perfect in all respects. Not only must one come to the conclusion that Krishna is everything, but he must remain fixed in this realization. This is the highest perfection of life, and it is this perfection that King Malayadwaj attained at the end. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Agyanta Mirandasya Gananjana Shivakaya Chakshurun Nitamina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitamina Mutale Swayam Pakadama Yam Dadati Swapatantikam Vancha Kaputu Vyashcha Kripasam Virivacha Patita Nabhavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhara Shivasri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I don't think I'll speak very long because my voice, as you can hear, is on its way out. And I also thought, I heard one speculation that Vaisheshika Prabhu might give today, so I didn't do a full preparation. Please give me some well wishes, I can say something valuable. It's being mentioned here by that King Malayadwaj practiced penances and austerities for Divya Varsha Shatam for many 100,000 years, according to the calculation of the demigods, which means a very long time. And by such rigorous penance and austerity, he eventually came to the point of being fixed in pure devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada is drawing from that line, Divya Varsha Shatam, is taking the verse, Bahunam Jamanante, Gyanavanam Prapadite, that after many, many births and deaths, one comes to the Gyanavan, one becomes a Gyanavan. Gyanavan also means Shradavan. Shradavan means a person of faith, who is filled with faith. And Gyanavan means one who is filled with knowledge. So after many, many births, one becomes filled with knowledge, one becomes filled with faith, Shradavan, that Krishna is everything, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. He becomes fixed in pure devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada is taking this point here to say that to come to a fixed stage in pure devotional service is not so easy as many of us may have initially thought it would be. It's taking him, he's also a great soul, it's taking him many thousands and thousands of years to come to the stage of being fixed in pure devotional service, pure devotional faith. Prabhupada is quoting here, Shraddha Shabde Vishwasra Kahe, Shudridra Nishtray, Krishna Bhakti Kaile Savakarma Kritahoi. This is the same verse. Same as speaking about Shraddha. Shraddha means to have the faith that simply by the Vishwasra, Vishwasra means trust, to have the trust that just by service to Krishna, everything can be accomplished. All wants can be satisfied. Even my material wants can be satisfied just by taking shelter of Krishna. When one has such a conviction, then it is said he is a person filled with faith. And Prabhupada is indicating that that is a perfectional state of the consciousness. And to reach that state of consciousness, it takes many years of great penance and austerity to be performed. So it's not like we just did Pandava Nirjala Kadeshi and now Sarva Karma Kritahoi, I'm fixed now, Sujidish. I have that full faith in Krishna. It's going to take a lot more than a couple Pandava Nirjala Pandava Kadeshis to get that type of faith. So therefore, we are advised by Rupa Goswami, Utsaha Nishtaya Dharya, that we should be enthusiastic to pursue the perfectional stage. At the same time, we should remain patient. For one who is not patient, he'll become restless when the desired fruit is not achieved. Just like sometimes when we go out, when we do certain services, we have a certain expectation that we want to meet, a quota or a goal that we're trying to reach. And when that is not reached, or suppose, like book distribution, suppose you make a quota for getting out 10 books, that's your quota, and making so many Lakshmi points a day. So as the day is going closer to the end, and you haven't reached anywhere near the quota, then what happens to the mind? You become very disturbed, the mind, doesn't it? You become very restless. So similarly, we may be rigorously practicing Krishna consciousness, and we may not immediately perceive the changes in our consciousness as promised in the books. And therefore, if we are not patient, then we become restless, and that restlessness can drive us out of Krishna consciousness. So then Rupa Goswami advises us to be patient. At the same time, we have to be enthusiastic. That means actively pursuing the perfection stage. Not that I'm being patient and then sitting nicely and Lord, what are you doing? I'm being patient. Krishna will give, why aren't you chanting your rounds? It will come eventually. There's like these spiritual groups, some spiritual groups right there that say that everyone will eventually attain perfection. By the natural course of things, everyone will go back to the spiritual world. And this way they criticize us implicitly, why are you preaching? Because eventually everyone's going to get there. But actually, no one gets there without putting forth a strong effort enthusiastic effort. That means all energies should be dedicated to the pursuit of Krishna. That is what it means to be a devotee. Pranaya artaya diyavacha. Shaya charanosava. That one's prana means one's life, one's wealth, one's intelligence, and one's words, all dedicated to the pursuit of the pleasure of Krishna. That is what it means to be a devotee of Krishna. So that is called enthusiasm. When one can use all his energy in the pursuit of the lotus feet of Krishna, then one is called an enthusiastic devotee. At the same time, even though we're so enthusiastically pursuing Krishna, Krishna may not very easily reveal himself. You have this experience? How many are seeing Krishna? Anyone here seeing Krishna yet? Saying, of course we can all say yes, we've seen the deity. But we may not understand that experience. Or you'll be, maybe you're not aware, but in this, you're all familiar with the Mukunda Dutt story where Lord Chaitanya rejected him because he was hearing from the Mayavadis. And when he would be with the Mayavadis, he would say, they're also very good. And when he would be with the devotees, oh, they're also very good. So when Lord Chaitanya was doing his great Mahaprakash Lila, that time he didn't want to see Mukunda because he said he is a duplicitous fellow. So Lord Chaitanya doesn't like duplicity. He doesn't care if we're very, very fallen. That is not a problem for Lord Chaitanya. But duplicity he cannot tolerate. So he didn't want to have anything to do with Mukunda. So he told them that after millions of births, because Mukunda asked, will I be able to see you again? And Lord Chaitanya said, after millions of births, you'll get an opportunity to see. And Mukunda, after millions of births, he began dancing in ecstasy. I will see him again. I will see him again. He was saying like that. So then Lord Chaitanya was so much captured by his loving mood, that he said, okay, come, come. He called him immediately and gave him mercy. So that time, Mukunda died after receiving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He begins to offer prayers to Lord Chaitanya. And the prayers that he offers to Lord Chaitanya, he explains that so many, without devotion to you, what is the benefit of even seeing you? Because he got the benediction. Lord Chaitanya said, you will see me after millions of years. But because his eagerness to see Krishna was not, weakened by the fact that Lord Chaitanya said millions of years. Suppose you go to the Lord, my dear Lord, when will I see you again? He said, after millions of births. Then your enthusiasm may drop a few notches, right? If not, forget it, I'm going back to Maya. You know, this is Krishna business, is too hard. So when Lord Chaitanya saw that Mukunda Das' enthusiasm, his strong eagerness was not diminished by hearing the fact that he would not see him after millions of years, then Lord Chaitanya accepted his association. But then Mukunda Das said, he began offering very many beautiful prayers, and he began asking Lord Chaitanya, but anyway, what is the benefit of seeing you even, if one is not having devotion to you? And then he begins giving a whole list of so many people who saw Krishna. Kamsa saw Krishna. He discusses the mature washerman. He saw Krishna, but when he saw Krishna, what happened? Krishna chopped off his head. Not very beneficial thing. Duryodhana saw Krishna, and he didn't even see just ordinary Krishna. Krishna manifested a partial universal form. And then when he saw that, he said, arrest him. Because he didn't have any devotion to Krishna. Narsimha saw Krishna. Hiranyakashipu saw Krishna. Hiranyaksha saw Krishna. So many people saw Krishna. But because they were devoid of devotion to Krishna, that seeing was not beneficial to them. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavita. Mudaya namijananti lokunyamajamavaya. Krishna says, so long as they are covered by my yogamaya potency, they derive no benefit even by seeing. Only persons who have developed love for the Lord can they actually really see the Lord, both within and without. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochane nasanta sadai varidayeshu vilokanyanti. Both within and without their hearts, they can see the Lord with their eyes which are anointed with love for the Lord. So if one is devoid of love, then even having the benediction of seeing the Lord does not avail one very much. That was Mukunda's prayers. And then Lord Chaitanya confirmed, yes, this is true actually. He gave a confirmation. So more important than seeing Krishna is to serve Krishna. Because by devotional service of Krishna, we can develop loving eyes. And that way we can actually benefit from the darshan of Krishna. Otherwise, we don't benefit from the darshan. Every day, actually, we are seeing Krishna. But because one may be on a level where they're not able to understand the avatar of Krishna as a deity, we don't derive always much benefit from seeing the deity. We have, during our Govinda prayers, we have really deep prayers, and then that may be the last time we see the deity for a day. You know, I mean, there may be practical services also, but even if we're residing in the temple throughout the whole day, you know, the next time we'll see Kishore Kishore may be around 6 o'clock Gorati time. And then again, we'll go into our deep mood of devotion. And then after that, we don't see the Lord for some time. So we are seeing the Lord, but how much of us are benefiting from that vision? Because without the deep service added to Seva Mukha Jivada, Swayam Evasparatyada, without the Seva Mukha mentality, a mentality filled with service, then even having darshan is not very beneficial. So therefore, many times one may get frustrated. Why isn't Krishna showing himself to me? This is also true to devotees. Why isn't, you know, sometimes we may wonder, many of us at least in this coming, we may not always get the darshan of our gurus, or devotees whom we really appreciate. We may wonder, why am I getting that darshan? Why isn't Krishna showing himself to me? I'm rendering rigorous devotional service, putting all my heart into it, all my energy. Why isn't Krishna showing himself to me? We may be wondering. But Krishna knows that even if I show myself to you, it will not be of any avail to you if you are devoid of devotion to me. Real devotion. Not just a semblance of devotion, but real devotion. So he rather keeps himself from our vision so that we would not take him cheaply and actually do the real work of cultivating deep devotion to him so that when he reappears, we would actually benefit from that darshan. There are so many lessons like this. I wasn't planning on going this direction. I don't know how. Sometimes you, anyway. What's coming to my mind is in the Rasa Lila. This is not esoteric. This is a very simple point. Prabhupada points on the Krishna book. When Krishna disappeared from the gopis, they were in great anxiety and misery due to separation from Krishna. So finally, when Krishna reappeared, they were a little upset. Because we were rendering very rigorous devotional service. We rejected family. We came out into the forest in the middle of the night. So many dangerous elements are there. No one can even do such things. Just like the wise and the Yajna Brahmanas, similar to the gopis, when they heard that Krishna and Balaram were hungry, they immediately left, took all the the boga, and immediately left to go see Krishna in the middle of the night, and leaving their husbands aside. So it was very dangerous. Later on, when their husbands were able to recognize the glory of the wives of the Yajna Brahmanas, they wanted to also go and see Krishna, but they were scared to pursue because Kamsa was there, and they were scared of Kamsa's man being in the forest. So it was a very dangerous situation just to go out in the middle of the forest and go and see Krishna. Not so easy. So the gopis rendered very selfless service to Krishna, taking all risk. We may hardly make any risk for Krishna. The gopis were taking all risks. They were risking their lives, they were risking their social, status. They risked everything for Krishna. And then after going through the forest, again, Krishna disappears from their vision. So they were a little bit agitated, you know. What's this business here? We've given everything to you, just like the neophyte devotee. I've given everything to you for a whole 3 months. And you're not showing yourself to me. What is this business? I heard in the books, immediately you come, just by one chanting of Hare Krishna, so many things are supposed to be happening. I'm chanting every day 60 rounds, nothing is happening. Rigorous devotional service for a whole 3 months. What is this business? I quit Krishna. I don't know if this kind of works. Let me go and try this group and that group and that group. This mentality is there. So the gopis actually, they risked everything for Krishna. And then when they went to go see Krishna, then Krishna disappears from their vision. So he reappears. So they were a little agitated. So they asked Krishna some questions. The questions had an undertone of disappointment with Krishna in the matter of how they were reciprocating. And they were saying, you know, I don't remember the exact question, but there are different types of persons there. There are those who reciprocate only with those who reciprocate with them. Later on, that will be defined. That is just sheer selfishness. It hardly has anything to do with love. You know, if you scratch my back, then I don't have a problem scratching your back. But if you're not going to scratch my back, then what is the use of scratching your back? Krishna rejects that. Then there are others who render loving service to others without any expectation of return, like a mother for a child. And Krishna says that that person truly knows the principle of religion. Then there are others who don't render any service to anyone, either due to self-satisfaction, self-realized soul, amarama, or due to the fact that they are just ungrateful persons. They render no service. So that is rejected. So then the gopis were trying to subtly ask Krishna, so which one are you? You know, which one are you? It was that was the undertone of the question. Although they were smiling, they asked in a very polite way, but they had this strong undertone of disappointment was there. Just like we do it also. But so then Krishna, he I've given the answers to those three things. But then he states, why don't reciprocate with the soul so easily? He says, because I'm actually reciprocating with your innermost desire. Your deepest desire, of course, that's the gopis. I don't know about us, but at least the gopis, their deepest desire is to come to the platform of rendering 100% selfless service to Krishna. That is their deepest desire. So Krishna says, although it appears that I have not reciprocated with you, in fact, I have truly reciprocated with your innermost desire by not appearing before you. Because by not appearing before you, it will augment tremendously your desire to expand your devotional services so that there will be no tinge of any other type of desire within the heart. And he describes it's like a man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and in the pursuit of it can think of nothing else. Or iPhone. Krishna didn't use iPhone that time, but he could have easily used iPhone also. You know, it is like a man who's had a very nice iPhone, who left it in the kitchen for 5 seconds, goes back, it disappears, and pursues that he can think of nothing else. At least for the first day or so. Where is my iPhone? Where is my iPhone? Isn't it? Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. iPhone is a very nice thing, especially if it's new. If it was like really old, then you might already be detached from it, but I haven't finished using it enough. So like that, you can think of nothing. So Krishna says it's the same thing. When I appear before you and then disappear, you become so eager after that that you can think of nothing else. That means the mind will be so filled up with the desire to expand my services to Krishna, to again gain Krishna, that there will be no other room for other desires in the mind, which is the platform of pure devotional service. This is the same reality that took place for Narada Muni in the first canto, when Vishnu showed himself before Narada briefly and then disappeared. And Narada was devastated. He again tried the same mechanical processes. Come on. Just like sometimes we do our japa like that also. One day we get a really good experience from japa, and then the next day we think, okay, I'm going to mark the spot I set. I'll mark the direction I set in. I'll make sure I offer the same amount of obeisances I did, you know, and that way I try to generate that experience again. Come on. What's happening? It doesn't come. So Krishna, same thing happened in Narada Muni. He couldn't again gain experience. So then Krishna came to him in an akashvani, a sound vibration in the ether. And he said, you will not again see me in this life. Oh, what is this business? I've been surrendering to you since I was 5 years old. And that too, Parivraja Acharya Sannyas, I'm traveling all here and there in dangerous areas, taking all risks for the services of Krishna. And you mean to tell me that you're not going to again come before me until some future birth? So then Krishna explains, and the reason he gives to Narada Muni is the same reason he gives to the gopis, essentially, in essence, is to expand the services in your heart, the service mentality, by which there will be no tinge of material desire, which is the platform of real devotion to Krishna. You cannot have material desires and have deep devotion to Krishna at the same time. Pure devotional service has to be qualified. If Rupa Goswami was just to say, Anupuyena Krishna Nushilanam, then many people might qualify for devotional service. But he wanted to modify that definition by saying, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, there are no material desires there. Shunyam means zero. So Krishna wants to help us out by making sure all such desires are exterminated. So appear and disappear, appear and disappear. So the point I'm making here is Malaya Dwaj, for many, 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 many births, performing austere penances for the expanding devotion in his heart, by which he can actually benefit from the darshan of Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna knows you will not get any benefit unless you have that deep devotion in the heart. So, Bahunam Jamunanante, Gyanavama Pupadite, Vasudeva Subhamiti. One comes to that fixed faith that Krishna is everything. Samahatma Subhudu. Such a soul is very, very rare. So, the other point I want to point out here is Daryat. Daryat, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur expands on this point, Daryat, patience. He says patience means to accept that, or be prepared to accept birth hundreds and hundreds of times and not lose one's enthusiasm to pursue the lotus feet of Krishna. He says that, he says such a mentality is called patience. That Krishna must give his mercy because that is his promise. It is his promise that he will reciprocate. So he must give his mercy. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said he will give his mercy this life or next life, or maybe not after until 100 lives. Or in the case of Mukunda Dai, even millions of lives. But the devotee's enthusiasm never drops. Then he says such a mentality is called patience. So without such patience, we become restless. And the point I wanted to draw out here is that restlessness will engender offensive mentality. Yes? We have this experience when we don't get the reciprocation we want, what happens to the mind? And it really turns offensive, isn't it? And especially in Kali Yuga, the reason it is very hard for the jivas to come to the platform of fixed devotional service as been described in this purport is because of offenses. In Kali Yuga, all the jivas are gripped by offenses. It is mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, Panchanga Bhakti, that Panchanga Bhakti means five most potent forms of bhakti. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Sadhu Sangha, Nam Sankirtan, Mathura Vasa, and Srimurtaya Sevaya. Worship. These are the five most potent forms of devotional service. And it says, even if you don't have faith, even if one is devoid of faith, if he is free of offenses, he can immediately come in the platform of Bhava. That's pretty powerful, if he's free of offenses. So we're having some faith, at least some Shraddha Abbas, at least a little bit of semblance of faith, that keeps us, you know, shnik shnik ram ram giri giri, day in and day out. Giri giri, I always say, means hare hare, but when you say it really fast, if you sometimes observe it sounds, it's namaparaya anyway. So shnik shnik ram ram giri giri, day. So we're doing with some faith, at least a semblance of faith. Why am I not getting bhava? Why, you know, the hair is standing on end and all these things that are supposed to have, why is that? Because we're gripped by offenses in Kali Yuga. That is why we're not able to come to the fixed devotional service, such as being mentioned here. So, what is the austerity? It says King Malayadraj executed austerities and penances for 36,000 years. So for many, many thousands of years, or in our case, many, many, you know, how you say, decades? Not even many, many, just many, 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 maybe 20 decades or so before we die. So we have to do great austerities and penances. So what is a great austerity and penance in Kali Yuga? Giving up offenses. That is an austerity in Kali Yuga. To reject offensive mentality and offensive actions. Otherwise, there is no question of being fixed in devotional service. So long as one is gripped by offenses, there is no question of real devotion to Krishna. So that is the actual austerity in Kali Yuga. It is mentioned, Bhajanera Madhe Shrishta Navaveda Bhakti, Krishna Prema Krishna Dite Dhari Mahashakti. That the nine of all the forms of devotion to Krishna, Bhajanera Madhe Shrishta, the best are Navaveda Bhakti, Shravan, Kirtan, etc. It is described that these nine forms of devotional service have Mahashakti. That means like Maha Mantra, Mahashakti, great potency. To deliver Krishna and to deliver love for Krishna. So we're doing Shravan Kirtan, Smara. Every day we're doing Archana. Practically all nine devotional processes we're doing by Srila Prabhupada's program. Anyone experiencing that Maha Shakti? Of course, we are experiencing to some degree, because just to follow the four regs, that takes some great Maha Shakti. Think of the Jiva to even agree to that takes Maha Shakti, you know? There's no doubt about it. So there is some Maha Shakti in those things. We may not be experiencing the Krishna prema, Krishna dite, getting Krishna prema, getting the lotus feet of Krishna. We may not get it. And then Kaviraj Goswami goes on to clarify, Tara mande sarva shreshtha nama sankirtan, nir aparada nam nigde paya pramada. He says that of these nine forms that are greatly potent, the best of these nine is nam sankirtan. But nir aparad, there should be no offenses. Nir aparad nam nigde paya pramada. If it is done without offenses, then very quickly it will give the gift of prema, of love for Krishna, by which we can benefit from the darshan of Krishna. So then, why are we not getting that prema? It's because of we are greatly offensive to Nam. We're chanting a lot of Hare Krishna daily, and even book distribution and other such, even all the services, deity worship, they're expansions of the Nam Sankirtan principle. So you can say, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam, our life is basically a life of a Mahatma, the lifestyle. It may be devoid of the consciousness of a Mahatma, but it's the lifestyle of a Mahatma. Satatam Kirtanyanta Mam, Nitantascha Dhridavrataha. Dhridavrataha means come every day. That is called Dhridavrataha. Every day you come. Just like someone says, they come for the weekend, oh, that was ecstatic, like that. But tell them, okay, every day we'll do like this. No, thank you. No, Mam, agree. So Dhridavrataha means every day you do. Namasyantascha Mam Bhaktya. Offering obeisances constantly. Nitya yuktu upasate, 24 hours every day, 24 hours, 24/7. So this, we're having a lifestyle of a Mahatma, even though we may be devoid of the consciousness of a Mahatma, we have lifestyle of a Mahatma, but why we are not getting quickly Krishna prema? Why is it not coming? The Shastra said very quickly it comes. And the reason is because durdaiva, we commit offenses. Durdaiva. And of all the offenses, the most difficult one to avoid is Vaishnava. That's the most challenging to avoid because we exist with devotees. That is and it's very subtle. Vaishnava is a very subtle thing, a very difficult thing to avoid. The tendency, just like Krishna says in Gita, Mana Shashtan Injiani Pakritistani Kashiti, he says that Jiva is struggling with his mind and senses, struggling hard. Kashiti means he's struggling hard into a world. For the sadhaka, the Mana Shashtan Injiani means that he's using his mind and senses to evaluate Vaishnavas constantly. Why did you do that? Mm-hmm. Take note of that. Take note. Why are you smiling like that? Take note of that. The tendency to evaluate Vaishnavas with the mind and senses causes karshuti, a great struggle in our association with Vaishnavas. Rather, we will say it another way. Unless we realize this verse from Bhagavad Gita, Apichet Sudaracharo, Bhajate Mama Nanyabak, that the devotee may be doing most abominable activity, but if he's a Nanyabak, fixing his determination to attain the lotus feet of Krishna, then we should see that living entity as sadhu. Unless we actually practically realize that, we will never be able to chant the holy name of Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur prays, and his prayer is called Vaishnava Vipnapti. He says that he's praying, he says, if one offends you, he's praying to the holy name of Krishna. He's praying to the Vaishnava. If one offends the holy name of Krishna, then the holy name will deliver him itself, just by constant chanting. But he says, but if one offends you, O Vaishnava Thakur, if one offends you, then no one can deliver him. Not even Nam, not even Krishna, no one can deliver him. So as we become realizing this verse, that we give more emphasis to the determination of the devotee than to his the thoughts of his external body, gross and subtle, misled by external bodies, gross or subtle. Unless we actually deeply realize that verse, there is no question of chanting Hare Krishna, then there will be no prema. No question of prema. So it may take many, many, many births to get that realization. Even Bharat Maharaj, he got attached to a deer. But according to Jiva Goswami, the reason that attachment took place in his heart is because he committed offenses. He quotes the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. Because how was he on the platform of Bhava? The stage of Bhava means Virakti. Virakti means detachment. And the example was given for detachment is Bharat Maharaj. He said he abandoned his wealth, his wife, his kingdom, like a person abandons stool. How does a person abandon a stool? In general, turn around. it's nice, you know. No one, I mean, hopefully, we have any sanity. No one goes around and even, you know, oh, very nice. No one is thinking like that. When you do your, especially if you go to India, you go to the bathroom, you time yourself in the bathroom. I should be able to do it about a minute and a half and get everything done. Because the experience is so horrible sometimes in some of the bathrooms in India. You even time, in America, you might get lost in the bathroom. You can, there'd be a magazine rack. There'd be so many nice things would be there, you know. Fragrances are very nice in the bathroom. But in India, they don't hide all these things. It is very easy to see. When you go to the bathroom in India, you go in and do your business, come out. So it says that Bharat Maharaj abandoned his kingdom, wealth, everything, like a person abandons a bathroom in India. There's a little edit there. That way he abandoned the kingdom. So he was completely detached. So how did he get attached to a deer, of all things? Now, to get attached to a woman or some money, that makes sense. But a deer? And the way he got attached to the deer also was completely inconceivable. I mean, he was like kissing the deer, speaking like love things to the deer, poetry. And when you read the fifth canto, you get a little bewildered. Like, what happened? Jiva Goswami says he committed offenses. He committed offenses. That's how that attachment came in the heart. And then, of course, a devotee never perishes. Kondaya pratijani name bhakti panashati. So Krishna allowed him to keep that divine consciousness even in a deer body. And he was able to continue his cultivation. So Bari Muni was meditating in the water for 10,000 years. How did he get attracted? He just saw some fish doing their, you know, Ras Lila pastime. And he got so bewildered by that he came out of the water. And it's not like he just like hooked up with one person. With 100 women, he hooked up and was lost. And sense gratification for some time. How did that happen? He committed offenses to Garuda. Prabhupada explains in the Christian book, because Garuda's natural food source was fish, and he was giving shelter to the fish and thinking ill of Garuda, because he committed offenses, so he got attracted to something very significant. Anyway, we can go through, there's unlimited pastimes in the Shastras. Daksha, he lost his head because of offenses, literally. And, you know, what was the name of the Virabhadra literally took off his head. He actually lost his head because of offenses. I mean, that didn't mean he just got crazy, like the head was gone, chopped, because of offenses. So in this way, so many pastimes. Chittaketu, he was a great devotee of Krishna, but due to an apparent offense to Shiva, he took birth as a demon, Vichusura. So what is a great penance and austerity in Kali Yuga? Is to avoid offenses, especially the Vaishnava Aparada. The tendency to measure devotees, the tendency to neglect, like Indra. He just neglected his guru. He didn't do anything like outright offensive as such. He was receiving some glorification. You know, it's nice, right? Someone glorifies you. Say, so someone says, you are very beautiful. I haven't seen such a beautiful face like yours in a while. What will you do? You will smile, no doubt. You will try to say something humble. Thank you. Oh, that wasn't humble. You try to think of something. So someone's glorifying you, you get intoxicated. And Indra was so intoxicated by hearing his glories that his spiritual master walked in. He was thinking, oh, anyway, I'm seeing him every day. That's what he was thinking. Anyway, every day he's coming in the same spot, I'm seeing him every day. So, for business, next time he walks through that time, and my glorification shall be finished that time. Then, you know, offer a little pranam, Jagun Dev, and then go back to my business. Just because of that negligence, he lost the whole Swargaloka, because of that negligence. So what it does not want to, it does not perform the austerity of avoiding offenses, everything is finished. Everything's finished. There are no questions of chanting Hare Krishna, and there will be no fruits obtained from our various services. We will not be fixed in the pure devotion to Krishna. You cannot have an offensive mentality on one side and devotion to Krishna in the same place. That's not possible. That's like trying to light a logwood and pouring water on it at the same time. How is it possible? So we have to perform this austerity, and this austerity has to be done throughout one's life. It's not that I come to a stage of devotional service where, oh, I don't have to, I'm free now. I don't have to. Even there was one Ram, I forget his name, I'm going to say Ram Chandra Kaviraj. He attained a beginning stage of prema. And he committed offenses to, I think, Narayani, who was the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. I might be telling the story wrong, but she had this tendency to constantly chant Hari Nam, and she couldn't get her tongue to stop chanting. So she was, this Chandra Kaviraj, she was, he had an initial stage of prema. So he had pure love for the Lord, and his Bhagavatam recitation was exquisite. Everyone in Vrindavan used to come to hear his reciting the Bhagavatam. And then when Narayani came, she was sitting in the back, and her tongue just kept vibrating Hari Nam. Now this was an offense. If class is going on and someone's sitting chanting Hare Krishna, it's an offense. You're going how you will hear both Hari Nam and class at the same time. We can neither hear either when we have no distraction. Hari Nam or Bhagavatam. The position is the same position in both. So how you do both at the same time, that means double knockout, double whammy, right? Finish. So it's generally offensive chanting Bhagavatam class. So she was chanting. She was chanting because she's going to get her tongue to stop. So he started blasting her. She said, no, I'm hearing Bhagavatam. I'm not myself doing this. This is a tongue doing by itself. But I'm paying attention to the class. But he couldn't tolerate. He committed offense. So he went from the stage of prema all the way to becoming a ghost in Vrindavan. He became a ghost. So my point is that this austerity and penance has to be done throughout one's life. It is not that, oh, now I'm here, now I'm totally free. There's no question of totally free. If you're in the material world, there's danger at every step. And even if there's not danger of being captured by material sense gratification, there's danger in the association of devotees. If our regards shall go down even a little bit, then we are in a very dangerous situation. So this austerity should be done throughout one. Therefore, Bahu Nan Jamanan. So many lives it may take. If we're so gripped by offenses, we will not be able to attain Krishna in this life. We must give up by proper absorption in Krishna consciousness and proper regard for the Vaishnavas. Sorry, anyone wants to ask anything? Anyone wants to say anything? Yeah. No, first you should know what the offenses are. You should know what the offenses are. They should be discussed. You should realize the depth of each of the offenses, what it means to commit that offense, and then you should avoid it. There is no other way. It must be discussed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if preachers do not preach about nam aparad, then they themselves will become afflicted with committing nama-parayah. So if they don't preach about avoiding offenses, then they themselves will become afflicted by committing the nama-parayah. Because there just won't be any cognition of it, because you're not speaking about it, you're not hearing about it, you're not discussing the depths of what it could be and what it could mean. So there he said that the preachers, they themselves will become afflicted by nama-parayah. They don't preach avoiding the offenses. So every preacher of the holy name of Krishna, that means anyone who's preaching in this Krishna conscious movement, they have to equip themselves with realization of nama-parayah, and they have to preach that also in order to avoid it. In Arjuna's case, he was following the order of Krishna. So that is an easy thing to understand. But unless these things are discussed from many angles of vision, it is not always so black and white as in Arjuna's case. So we must hear about, we must discuss, we must realize, then avoid. Yeah. If I understood your question, I think in short, it's due to the senses. The senses, the reason we get ritualistic, let's say it the other way. The things you really put your heart into, even before you come to Krishna consciousness, are the things that gave some mental and sensual gratification, isn't it? It was easy for you to be enthusiastic about something that gave mental and sensual gratification. And things which weren't giving so much mental and sensual gratification, you may have just did as a ritual, like going to school. For example, especially in certain classes like history or something, English, so boring. But you had to be there, otherwise you would get an F. So you would just go, you would just sit. And if they ask you a question, you would give the answer. But you weren't actually there. You were somewhere else checked out, because it wasn't sensually and mentally gratifying. So also because we will be thinking in our infancy that Krishna consciousness, the association devotees, etc., are meant for our mental and sensual gratification. So after we've extracted the amount of mental and sensual gratification we can get from them in the beginning, then the real work begins. Right? Because in the beginning, devotees glorify us, and we ate prasadam, and the kirtans, there's so many new tunes you never heard before. Then after a while, it's the same old tunes. Prabhu, you already chanted that tune 3 times a day. It's so boring. Change it up. We need to get some new tunes. So we might start hearing some pop music or something and try to put a Hare Krishna in it, you know, and make it like that. Same old faces. Same old, yo, Prabhu, can you sit over there? I don't want to see you all the time seeing you. It is enough. Enough is enough, you know. Like that. So after we extracted, we squeezed out the amount of sense gratification we can get in our association with the Krishna conscious movement, then the tendency is either to become ritualistic or to become serious. Because in the beginning, we were getting so much gratification out of the association that you hardly had to be serious. Because it was just like fun. Going back to Gaya is fun, isn't it? And then, after so many years, when all you squeezed out every little drop of sensual gratification you're going to get, you can either become ritualistic, because you know it's good for you, so I should do this, or you can become serious. And serious means consciously applying all the same things with cognition, with gratitude, with determination, with the desire to please, even if I'm filled up with anarthas. That is serious mentality. So do we want to become ritualistic, or do we want to become serious? This is due to the senses. This necessity to control the senses is essential for advancement in Krishna consciousness. And we don't know how many ways it is blocking our determination of Krishna in pursuit of Krishna in so many ways. Especially in the mind, especially mental speculation, especially the tendency to empirically use that empiric eye to evaluate our whole surrounding. Before, when we first came to the temple, oh, such nice, clean temple, so nice. And you live here, so dirty. You hear the voice, I've heard the voice, they leave because, oh, the temple is so dirty. They won't agree to clean it. They agree to criticize it. This is going on. So then, when we want to use an empiric eye to evaluate everything, and the devotees, and the Hare Krishna mantra, the literatures, all Prabhupada saying the same thing on the page. It's all boring books, you know. I need to get some rasa. So let me go in here, over here, and over there. Like that, the senses will be deviating our determination, like anything. There was another aspect of your question that I covered, one. Okay. Anything else? Yes. Wow. Well, there you go. Emptying a whole ocean with the tip of a straw. That should be your determination. So therefore, Bahu Nam Jamanana. Many, many lives. Many, many lives to get the determination. Yeah, about that. Yeah, the only atonement that is mentioned in the Shastra is for getting over offenses. Of course, to Vaishnavas is by taking shelter of them, and if that possibility does not arise, then one's life has to be satatam kirtanam tumam, like 24 hours engagement and chanting the holy names of Krishna and the expansion forms of it, absorption. And Krishna is mentioned. In the beginning of our devotional service, that means before we're chanting purely, that means namabhash chanting, there are offenses going on. But because those are not done intentionally, one is not implicated as seriously. Because they're done in ignorance. In many cases, it's just done in ignorance. It's after you gain knowledge that you become more implicated if you do not avoid. Just like in the beginning, we may evaluate persons according to their bodies. Oh, that is a black Vaishnava, that is a white Vaishnava, that is an Asian, which is an offense. That was just due to ignorance. But after we hear the philosophy, that's why hearing is so important. After you hear the philosophy, then you know to give up such designations. But if you still do like that after hearing such things, then it becomes operational and you're implicated more severely. So in the beginning of our devotional service, we're not so implicated. But because it is an offense, it does slow the progress of the person. He has to get over that hurdle by absorption through devotional service. Namabhas means you will attain the goal, but you attain it slowly. Chanting purely means you attain the goal quickly. Chanting purely means you're free from the offenses. So if we're committing offenses due to our ignorance, that's namabhas, then we'll move progressively towards the goal, but we'll move slowly. Namabhas chanting means moving slowly. And then, when we come to the pure stage, we can move quickly. And that can come by realization of some mandagyan. This is according to Harinam Chintami. When we really realize this philosophy by ardent hearing, then we'll give up our offenses and then we can attain purity quickly. Like that. That's all we're just going to say. Well, in our association, when we say duplicity, we don't mean that the mind is going towards faults because of anartas. Because we have anartas that kind of force the mind in a certain type of direction. But it doesn't really impede our devotional service as such. It does slow down a little bit. But it's not like our samadhi, like you're totally absorbed in the faults of someone or something like that. But when we say duplicitous, we mean that there's some misgiving. There's a definitely doubt and a misgiving. Usually a doubt is one of the faculties of intelligence. But a misgiving is an emotional thing. Something on the mind platform. When the mind gets disturbed, mana shashtana jnani prakriti sanikarshi, everything's finished when the mind gets disturbed, isn't it? So a misgiving means mental platform. There's some emotions invested into it. So therefore, it becomes like a constant meditation, some issues that you're having, either about the form of Krishna, something related to the philosophy, something about Srila Prabhupada, or most common is our associations with one another. Because generally, it is much easier to gain a theoretical appreciation of the deity, of Srila Prabhupada, of the books, because they don't talk to us as such, direct. They don't interact with us as such. On a spiritual platform, you can say, but we're not so spiritual, we can understand that. So when you see Kishore Kishore, we see this doing the same thing every day, right? You see Kishore Kishore chastising you? Sometimes Kishore Kishore chastises, because you'll find out in chapter 7 of the first canto that Krishna was furious at Ashwatthama, but his face still looked like blissful, because part and parable describes that he was transcendental. So I was like, well, how you can know then if Krishna is mad, Even when he's mad, he looks like this on me. Very blissful face. So Krishna may be chastising us, but we're not able to recognize we're not on such a spiritual platform. We can see when the deity is chastising us. But with devotees, they're interacting with us practically. They might ignore us some days, or they might yell at us, or be really nice to us. And then we really get fired up to be with them. And the next day, like totally cold and like that. And then if a misgiving shall develop because of that, And therefore, as due to a misgiving, you would be always thinking about that and therefore tending towards offenses. Then duplicitous would mean, in that context, to continue to interact with such a person without letting the thing come to the surface. That is duplicity. You're just interacting just in the name of Vaishnava etiquette and being nice, but you're thinking negatively. That is also an offense. To not feel happy when you see a devotee is an offense. To feel envious of the devotee or to get angry with a devotee is an offense. It is mentioned. And of course, to kill a devotee is an offense. That's one that's kind of obvious. And to blaspheme a devotee. So how many times do we have the experience of not feeling happy when we see a devotee? It's an offense. But it might be just due to a narcissist, but if it becomes a misgiving, so where you're really unhappy when you see a devotee, right? It just, you know, and then you, from unhappy goes to anger and frustration like that. And you shall not reveal anything about that. That devotee may be ignorant, just going on thinking everything is as the same, normal, and we're giving him that, you know, that special glance, that Muchukunda glance. You know, Muchukunda, when he woke up, he burned to ashes, a demon, you know? So we'd be giving that Muchukunda glance. And they would say, Hari Baba, who are you? I'm wonderful. Duplicitous. Better you say straightforwardly something and then try to address it by Krishna conscious principles. This Indriya Prabhu. Yeah, we also are. He, a devotee, is very fixed in his services. He used to, after the programs, he would go upstairs and just recite shlokas. So he looked like a very fixed in his determination to attend Krishna. And then one day he just didn't show up for his services. Later on, they found out he was working at Penarosa Steakhouse, you said? Cooking steak at Penarosa Steakhouse. So he was like, what happened? It could be due to offenses, or it can also be due to negligence to get assistance on anarthas in a timely manner. Sometimes we have anarthas that particularly pop up which really create great impediment in our determination to, and we don't say anything to anyone because we're scared, or we lack trust in the devotees, so we don't say anything. As a result, those anarthas end up taking us out. Therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami says in Manashiksha, that he compares lust, anger, envy, etc. to highwaymen who have bound him, you know, highwaymen on the open road of material life. Open road means there's no protection, it's not guarded by anyone. So he's compared lust, envy, anger, all these anarthas to highwaymen on the open road of material life who have bound me by the neck with a noose, with the noose of wicked deeds, and it's just dragging me out of Krishna consciousness. But then he makes a point. He's preaching to his mind. He says, "Oh mind, scream out to the devotees, I am being killed, I am being killed." And then certainly they will, those guardians, they're called the guardians of the path, those guardians, they will come and protect you. So generally, because we lack trust with the Vaishnava, we're not able to tell, "I am being killed, I am being killed." We just say, "Everything's okay." And then next day we're working at Penarosa Steakhouse. So this is going on. Anyway, you want to say one last thing or finish? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.